who are some spoken word artists or just artists in general that you admire?
Yeah, I think the first one that probably comes to mind is Jackie Hill Perry, just because her, you know, her versatility, her variety of subjects. She's able to do spoken word. She's able to rap. She's covered so many topics and has just been really influential. I think just in Christendom in general, her testimony as well as just her art is amazing.
She definitely has a really amazing, powerful testimony about how she became a Christian that I think a lot of people that have heard it, I think definitely respect and are in awe of just how God's worked in her life.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it's so true. I know I have been, and a lot of people have been really touched by her. So yeah, I really look up to her.
So I hope this isn't going to be the same answer as my first question, but who are some people or fellow musicians that have helped you grow as an artist?
Definitely Jackie Hill from her stuff, but also I think the biggest one that probably comes to mind is KB. I'm from Tampa, and so I've known KB for a while, and especially in the last couple years, him and his wife have just been a huge influence to me personally, as well as my husband, but also musically. It's kind of weird because I'm his friend, but I'm also like a huge fan of his. I love the content that he covers in his songs. I love, I guess there might be a little bit just of a sense of like, I know he really is living it out in his day-to-day life. I'm a member at his church as well, so I know how he literally lives out the stuff he talks about in song. So I think both his life and his wife's life, you know, it challenges me, as well as, you know, his art is really amazing. So him, and then I think Christian hip hop has played just a huge role for me walking with the Lord. I came to know the Lord at 16, and shortly after I heard my first Christian rap album, which was Flame, his first album that was entitled Flame. And I just remember being so confused that, you know, Christian people could rap, and then just really challenged, because he started, I mean, I remember the first track, he was like, Matthew 10:34, and then he just started quoting scripture, and I was like, what does that say? And then it just really made me really hungry. So I guess another person would be Flame. Like, pretty much all his albums have really challenged me and encouraged me a lot too.
All right, cool. Now, The Eternal Saga of the Saints, that's the first album I have of yours. Is that your first debut album?
Pretty much, yeah. And I don't even, yeah, it's just a project that I put out for free on Bandcamp. I guess you could say that it's the first one. I released a single this year called Wine Mixed with Myrrh as well on Bandcamp, and you could see the video on YouTube. But Eternal Saga of the Saints was really the first thing I really put out ever.
So that leads to my next question perfectly, so thank you. I'm a huge fan of Bandcamp because it's a great way for me to find new artists like you. What motivated you to give away your album and for whatever donation fans want to give?
I think for me, I mean, I guess that's kind of a multi-layered answer for me, because part of that is, I know what it's like to be a broke college student, because I was one for a while there. And just with budgeting and everything, there's, I think in this age, music is really easy to come by and art is really easy to come by, and a lot of it's free anyway. And also it kind of, from the buyer's perspective, I know that it can be hard to buy every album that you want to hear. And so I always appreciate when albums are actually given out for free. So it's kind of that buyer perspective, but also for me, there's a sense too where, although I agree that, you know, we should get, you know, that an artist is still doing work, that it's not work just because it's art, and that there should be a sense of, you know, respect from the buyer that, you know, we want to pay you for your work because we appreciate it. At the same time, I think for that first project, there was also a sense of like, this is a gift that the Lord has given me to proclaim the gospel and to encourage the body of Christ. And I really see my art doing that more than anything. So I didn't want, you know, purchasing anything to be a hindrance to that. I wanted it to be as easy as possible for people to download it, to share it with people that they want to, you know, maybe share the gospel with. So I think that's kind of the other layer. And also, I mean, nobody really knows who I am. So I felt like it would be a little presumptuous for me to put out something with a price of any kind, just because no one really knows who I am. So there's kind of that layer too.
So I got two follow-up questions then, because I love those answers. The first one is, you mentioned Jackie Hill Perry earlier, and then hearing that explanation just now, Humble Beast, the label she's on, they're doing amazing things with spoken word and hip-hop and urban music, or whatever label you want to put that. How impressive is it to have a Christian label like Humble Beast giving away albums for young adults and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been impressed by that, even before Jackie Hill came out. I should have mentioned this earlier, Beautiful Eulogy is like, whew, that's like probably my favorite sound out there, as well as just their content. But, you know, even since like Braille and Beautiful Eulogy and Odd Thomas and all of them have been putting out stuff, I always appreciated it coming out free. And I know that many people benefit from it. I think usually we tend to associate free with, you know, maybe not so good art, not so good of art, you know, or lacking quality, where Humble Beast kind of smashes that, presumption that we, you know, if it's free, it's going to be not so good. They're really good and free. And I think on the other end too, it's really challenging, I guess, as a local artist and independent artist, that, wow, you know, these guys are, I would say, you know, some of the best artists out there, and yet they're giving it out for free. So I think it really challenges me as well. You know, like I said before, I think there's definitely the argument that an artist is doing work and should get paid for that work. But at the same time, it is challenging too. Like, makes, even if you are going to have people pay for your work, for your art, it makes you at least challenge your heart motive. You know, why am I doing this? Am I doing it for, you know, downloads even, or for sales, or to really impact people's hearts? I think just them setting that example really challenges people in that way, or at least it does me. So.
Perfect. Okay, so next follow-up question. You mentioned that Bandcamp is a great way for you as a young artist to kind of get your music out there and let people download it. How has that experience, having your album on Bandcamp, increased the amount of people who are aware of your stuff? Has it helped you make some connections in the industry? Basically, how has that experience been beneficial to you as a young artist?
That's a good question, because I think the interesting thing about putting it on Bandcamp and it being a free download is I found that most people that gave me feedback, besides my own hometown Tampa, because they're my friends and they know me and they listen to the album. Other than Tampa, I mean, I think the biggest feedback I got was from Africa, from both South Africa, in particular Uganda and Ghana. I was getting tweets, I was getting, you know, direct messages. Even to this day, I'm getting like Facebook messages from people who are saying, man, I was weeping listening to your project. I really, you know, really challenged me, and I'm able to have these conversations with people all the way across the globe, you know, asking them what's their testimony and being able to share more of mine. And so that was a huge surprise for me. I didn't realize how big, I guess, spoken word was over there. And it was kind of interesting, because I would have expected more people in the U.S. to give me feedback. And I did get feedback through that, but it was honestly, I think most of the feedback I got was from the continent of Africa. So it was a sweet surprise for me to see that other people were being encouraged in other places that I wasn't even thinking to reach out to, I guess, through my art. And so on the other hand, I think because spoken word is, you know, essentially a performance type of art, there's a sense where you want that live feel, or I think most people want that live feel of spoken word. So the more well-known people in spoken word world, they're like people that have videos on YouTube, be it their live performances at, you know, big events for spoken word, or be it like really nicely produced videos. And so I think maybe the downside to just having a Bandcamp like I do, I only have like two videos out right now, but tons and tons of spoken word pieces, but only two videos. And so usually I don't hear a lot of feedback from, especially from people in the U.S., unless I have a video. And so one of my ideas now is just to do some videos of some of the tracks on Eternal Saga of the Saints, because I've noticed once I do a video, people start to really listen to it and, you know, are more drawn to it than if just me putting out an album saying, hey guys, this is Spoken Word, download it. I think people want to see you perform it. They want to see and feel it, like, because it's a live kind of art, I think.
Which makes total sense. So as a newer Spoken Word artist, how tough is that chicken and the egg thing, and that you ideally want to be performing in churches, in venues, and because the energy from that live performance is huge for you as a performer and the audience, but it's tough to secure those kind of venues until you have a following, right?
Right, which reminds me of when I couldn't really secure a job after college because I didn't have a car, but I couldn't get a car because I didn't have a job. So it's kind of like that. But, you know, I think, again, like, just, I think that reality is there. I think also just remembering the Lord's sovereign in that. I mean, the videos that I have been able to put out have been straight up grace for me, like through people who knew people and gave me cheap prices, or the last one I did was free because they wanted to just learn how to shoot a music video. So it was all like, we're all just learning here. So it was kind of, you know, those types of things the Lord just kind of plopped in my lap and really provided, which is really cool. And so, but yeah, I've kind of, it was interesting. I've tried out for one of the bigger, like, well-known spoken word, you know, events before, but I really didn't have any videos on YouTube, and I kind of immediately got a rejection. Not to say that I didn't deserve the rejection, I guess, you know, but I think, you know, sometimes you do see people that have, like, you know, tons and tons of views on YouTube are the ones that they're going to want to get to those events, you know, with reason, because then people will come to the event rather than for a nameless, you know, artist. So, you know, I think that's a reality, but it does push you to want to do videos, to want to, if that's how people are reached, then I want to explore that as much as I don't feel like I'm really great at it. Like I do want to explore that and grow in that visual art area and, you know, kind of gather a team around me that thinks in that way, that thinks creatively in the visual sense, to be able to reach people. Cause at the end of the day, if it's about reaching people and you're going to reach people better through a video, then I think go for it. You know, my struggle, of course, is that I'm not rich and I don't have, you know, crazy donors or anything. So I'm not able to put out as many things as I would like to. And all the ideas that I do have, I'm not able to do them, you know, by tomorrow type of thing. So it's always teaching me patience in that too. I think everyone can relate to that though. We all have ideas that we just can't, there's limitations there. And again, like embracing the Lord's sovereignty in that, and knowing that he has whatever platform I have right now is from him, and I should be faithful in that, you know?
I totally hear you on that. Now, you mentioned earlier that you became a Christian at 16, I believe?
Yes. Yeah, I was 16.
Has sharing your faith always been an integral part of your music?
Yes, for me, just because my testimony is maybe a little different than perhaps other artists. For me, I was 16. I was just, you know, in high school, a junior in high school, doing, my whole life was playing volleyball all year and basketball for a season every year, and just sports and school, you know, excel. I was really, you know, straight A student. I just wanted to get good grades, do well at sports, and go home and sleep. And that's pretty much was my life. And I wasn't, you know, interested in God. I just wanted to do me, and I wanted to be the best I could be. And that whole thing, for selfish motives, and didn't care about the Lord, until, you know, my friend on my volleyball team who was a believer, she shared the gospel with me. And, that's a long story short, but basically she befriended me, shared the gospel with me. And that's when the Lord really, really changed me and saved me, around that time. And shortly after that, I did see her older sisters doing spoken word for their mom, like for her 50th birthday or something. And I just saw it and I was like, that's different, you know? And sure enough, you know, right after that, as I was just reading the Bible and learning and, the prayers that were coming out, the journaling that was coming out, sort of just came out poetically. And then an English teacher, you know, about a half a year later, noticed that, and she said, "Why don't you try out for this poetry slam in our high school that she was putting together?" And I was like, "I don't, you know, I'm not a creative person. That's not really my lane. I just, you know, play volleyball." And she really encouraged me to do it. And so I memorized my poem and performed it. And I remember that was really the first time on a big platform, at least in high school terms, on a big platform in front of like 300 people in my high school, that I was able to be known for something other than, you know, helping win a game or getting straight A's. It was known, you know, to represent Christ. And that's, you know, been my life since I've been 16. He's been my life since I've been 16. So it just kind of, it tends to be what I write about, you know, and not that, that there's anything wrong with writing about other things, you know, from a biblical worldview, but that just kind of is my story. I know that for me, once I came to know the Lord, it's really just what I want to talk about. And I want to see people know him and grow in him. And I know that creative writing is literally a, like, I have no doubt in my mind that that's a gift from the Lord that I definitely did not have before I was a believer. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that little testimony of sorts there. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
What was the toughest part of recording this album?
I think the toughest part was just the how long it took for me to do it. I was, you know, struggling financially a lot during that time. And so there was a sense where, you know, should I just be working more overtime hours, or should I really be going to, you know, record this thing that's going to be free? But I just had this sense of like, I really want to finish this. I really want to put this out. Like, it's kind of like, you just want to get it done, but because of, you know, time constraints, you know, work, things of that nature, other responsibilities, I wasn't able to just like knock it out in a month or two. It really took about like a year, or so. And it really more than a year, but as far as just recording, about a year, of, you know, a little bit here and there and, you know, putting things together. So I think that was the part that really was the hardest, you know, seeing those time limitations that I wasn't able to dedicate the same amount of time as somebody who maybe works part-time or doesn't work, you know, that's their job, is to do art. Like, I was like, man, I want to do that. Like, I wish I had more time to dedicate to this. So just the length where you're like, I just can't wait to share this. And a year passes by, I still can't wait to share this. And I really hope I could share this, and recording's still happening. So I think that was the hardest part of it, is just like having to be patient with that.
It's a theme for you, eh?
Yes. Yeah. See, the Lord is teaching me again and again. Hoping I learned it.
I'm a slow learner myself, so I understand. Final question for you. What were some of the most rewarding parts of the album? You mentioned getting some feedback from Africa, but when you think back on the whole process and now that it's out there and people are commenting on it, what are some parts that have made this process of spending a year recording what, like, you call is a free album so rewarding?
Because there's like a lot of rewarding things about it in the end. That you don't see sometimes in the process of creating. Kind of go through that whole, like, am I the only one who understands what I'm doing? Or is anyone going to appreciate this at all? And so definitely, I think one of the biggest things is really just hearing feedback, whether it's someone in Africa who I never expected to reach, or somebody that I've known for years who took a listen, you know, a year after, this just happened, like a year after I put out the album, one of my friends takes a listen and writes me a long message about how the Lord used it in their lives. So just hearing feedback of how it pushed somebody to go study something more, or to repent from something, or just to want to desire the Lord more. I mean, that's, to me, that's the biggest reward, because that's why I do it. And that's, you know, I don't know, that's just the biggest compliment that I can get, that somebody heard it and was affected by it in a way that they wanted to seek God more as a result of it. And any type of feedback like that, whether I get feedback 5 years from now about this old project I put out, or or even the immediate feedback I got was just so super encouraging.
Well, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. Again, I'm a big fan of the album, and it's nice to hear some of your testimony today and just some more insight into the album. So thanks for chatting. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I really, you know, pray that the Lord will continue to bless you guys' magazine, and I'll definitely take more of a look at it. I'm super encouraged by that.